Today, Mir Tzashem, we'll finish Perek Beis in Shmuel Aleph. Before I do that, I wanted to mention, besides those that come to the shir that's held here in Ohel Avram Mishkan Yosef, 4907 18th Avenue, under the direction of Rabbi Stein, but besides those who are here in person, there is an audience that listens to the tapes. So I get feedback, both here and from people listening, and people asked, when we learned in the first perek, and we discussed it even in the Tefillah of Chanan the second, that Penina made Chana's life miserable because she was hoping that Chana would daven a heartfelt prayer and she would be answered, should finally be granted a child. She shouldn't accept life as it is. She should cry out with a sincere tefillah. The question asked was, she meant well. She obviously did the wrong thing. But then we learned for every child that Chana had, Penina lost two children. The question asked was, isn't that a very dramatic and drastic punishment? I say she had in mind L'shem Shemayim. To lose two children with every one that was born to Chana, until Chana interceded and made a special tefillah that those last two children should remain to Penina. I didn't see too much of a discussion in the Mefarshim. That's why it wasn't elaborated on at greater length. But a different listener suggested a Gemara in Ksuvus, which I think it's something that a whole shir could be devoted to by itself. But there's a Gemara like this in Ksuvus, on Samach Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Rav Rechumi used to go home every Erev Yom Kippur. He spent the year learning in yeshiva by Rava. Once a year he would go home. Maybe he stayed till after Sukkot, I don't know exactly. But he went home Erev Yom Kippur, and then the rest of the year he was in yeshiva. One year he was engrossed in what he was learning, and he forgot to go home. His wife was waiting for him. She looked out, maybe he's coming now, he's coming now, he's coming now. She's wondering, well, where's her husband? And a tear rolled down her cheek. A tear came down from her eyes. Her husband forgot her. At that moment, Rav Rechumi was learning. He was learning on a roof, on a roof. The roof collapsed, and he died. The question is, she certainly didn't want her husband to die. She was hoping he would remember to come home. This is because he forgot. Such a drastic punishment. He was learning. He forgot. He didn't intend to hurt her. He didn't intend to do anything wrong. And the lesson is, and I say this is something to elaborate, and it's hard to fully understand because we're so used to not being careful with what we say and what we do, but to hurt another Jew, to make a person cry, the person who cries, it's a tremendous, tremendous force. Shari dima lo ninalu, that the gates of tears weren't locked. Even sometimes if a tefillah is not accepted, but if it's accompanied by crying, it takes effect, even if an effect that the person didn't want. Rav Rechumi's wife didn't want him to die. She didn't want him to die, but since she cried, the one who caused the tears received a tremendous punishment. The same thing with Penina. Penina certainly meant well, but to cause Chana to cry was a terrible thing, and it had such dramatic and such a terrible outcome. That's the idea, and you can keep it in mind, and at some point you'll probably see there'll be a lecture given somewhere on what's called Onoas Devorin. To say something that hurts another person, that he can't respond, is not allowed. It's an Issa D'oraisa. Okay, now we're proceeding in Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Beis. In the last year, as we learned in the beginning of this perek, it went into great length of exactly what Eli's sons did wrong. And now we're going to repeat, it seems to be a repetition. First, the Navi says what they did wrong. Then we're going to mention that Eli is going to speak to his sons and tell them what he heard they're doing. And then we're going to have a third time, an Ish Elokim, a man of God, is going to appear to Eli and tell him what Hashem thinks of what's going on. So we're going to stress this a few times, and the reason is because the punishment is again a very drastic punishment. And therefore we're supposed to appreciate the severity of their Avera, how terrible it is what happened, and appreciating how bad it was what happened, we can now hopefully get an understanding of why the punishment is so terrible. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Ve'eli Zokein Ma'od. Eli was very old. First of all, we're skipping many years. Shmuel Shmuel was brought as a baby, as a 2-year-old to Eli. And he was only a shofet the last 10 years, and then Shaul was the king. We were skipping a few decades. Eli is now very old. V'shamani heard Eis Kol Asher Yasun Bonov L'chol Yisrael. He heard what his sons were doing to all of Klal Yisrael. He didn't see it. It doesn't even say that anybody told him directly. Nobody came over to him and said, Eli, you know what your sons are doing? He probably caught snippets of conversation between people. He could sense that there was an unrest and people were very upset with what his sons were doing. But nobody came over directly and confronted him. After all, Eli was Zokein Ma'od. He was very old. V'shamani heard what his sons did, Eisa Asher Yasun Bonov L'chol Yisrael, what Klal Yisrael did to all, what his sons did to all of Klal Yisrael. We learned the way they despised the Karbonos and they cheapened it by just looking like they were after the meat and taking what they wanted. Ve'isa Asher Yishkavun Es Hanoshim. And the fact, now first we'll teach it what it simply seems to say, and then we'll discuss the way Chazal explain it. The simple meaning is Ve'isa Asher Yishkavun Es Hanoshim. They laid together with the women Hatzovois that gathered Pesach Oel Moed by the entrance of the Oel Moed. Meaning a lot of women came to Mishkan Shiloh and they sinned with them. On one hand, it seems like a terrible thing, which it is a terrible thing, and we'll see, because it's so terrible, that's why Chazal, Taichit, whoever says B'nei Eli Chata, that they sinned, Einu Elatayi, you're making a mistake. But the simple meaning is that they did this Avera. The lesson would seem to be that a person can be the greatest, but there's a rule called Hagadol Mechavero Yitzra Gedoy Lahimenu. The greater a person is, the more the Yitzhar is out to get him. And therefore, as great as the B'nai Eli were, the Avera for Znus, this type of Avera is a natural human Yitzhar that you have to overcome. The Gemara in Sukkah has a story in the last perek that Abaya was once walking on the road and there was a man and a woman walking together, and he figured he would trail behind them, and if there was any chance of a sin he would step in. Anyway, they went the whole journey, and when they got to the end, you know, the man and the woman said to each other, it was a nice walk together, I'll see you another time. And they left, they departed, and Abaya felt so depressed. He said if he would have been in a case where it's secluded with a woman, he would have found it too hard not to sin. And here the man and the woman went together, nothing happened. Until he was told, Kodol Godo Mechaver Yitzra Godol Ahimenu, that somehow the more Kodosh, the more holy a person is, the more the Yetzihar is out to tempt him. And therefore the greatness of a person is the precautions that they would take. In other words, Chazal took tremendous precautions to be totally distant, you know, from, you know, like everyone knows the, you know, famous mice, well, let's say tzaddikim, if they were speaking to a woman asked them a shayla, they wouldn't look directly at the woman, they would look away. If they're looking at the woman not for their own pleasure, because they're speaking to her, they can look at her as they're answering a question. They're not doing it for any wrong motive. But to be extra careful, not to sort of look to the side. And similar on Haggis, I'm sure you've heard many of the stories about how the tzaddikim and the gedolim were careful to keep an extra distance. Because if somebody's lax, it can lead to this type of avera. Tosfos mentions in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara uses the term avera, and Tosfos says it means gilei arayis. And that's the That's the prototype Aveira. So the Pasuk seems to say they were guilty of it. Chazal say, whoever says B'nai Eli, Chota Einu El Atoya, he's mistaken. Gemara in Shabbos, the end of the fifth parak. He's making a mistake. How did Chazal know that? Some of Farshim point out, we discussed already at length the way they did everything wrong, and the Pasuk was very dramatic, how they had the fork with the three prongs, and they banged it into the pot, and they took, and the Pasuk doesn't say anything about this kind of an Aveira. And later on, we're going to learn shortly, the Ish Elohim, the man of God, comes to Eli and rebukes him about what's going on, and he also doesn't mention this sin. It seems to be that this sin is really, it's just mentioned as a passing phrase. There was certainly something that was not proper, but to understand it in its full severity, if it was really the way it seems to be, this should have been the main complaint, not the fact that they cheapened the treatment of Kodshim, the way they were treating with the holy meat, which was technically not a sin. As we discussed, it was just an attitude that they fostered. And they showed a disrespect. But this seems to be, this is much, much worse. This would be from the three Averis that's Yehorig Val Yavar, a person has to give up his life for. And it's only mentioned as a passing phrase. And by the way, the term Es, sometimes it means with. Like, Eser Elokim Hisalech Noach. Noach walked together with Hashem. And you would teach that way, Es Asher Yishkevun Es Hanoshim, they sinned with the women. But sometimes the word es is just, when you have like Vayishalach es ha'orev, Noach sent out the raven. Vayishalach es ha'orev. He sent out the raven. Nothing done together with the raven. Es asher yishkevun es hanoshim can mean they caused the women to have to spend the night outside the Pesach Ol Moed. Why were the women spending the night outside the Pesach Ol Moed? The answer is, if a woman gives birth, or if she has a certain discharge that makes her a zava, she has to bring bird sacrifices, she has to bring a korban, kinei yoledes and zava, she has to bring certain korbanos. After the kohen brings the korban, she can eat kodshim, she can go into the mikdash, but if it's not brought, she can't. Now, as long as the kohanim are doing things properly, and kohanim zrizim haim, and you know they're working with alacrity, and things are being run properly, the woman could put, there was a box, they put the money in the box, and you know the kohen took care of it, and you can go home, and you're actually by Mishkan Shiloh, probably you or your husband brought a carbon, or you had a carbon, you put the money in the box, and then you can eat the kodshim. By the time the day's over, you know your carbon was brought. Notice that night, you could eat kodshim, you know the carbon was done. With B'nai Eli, the women just felt they couldn't trust him. They had to see that the carbon was actually brought on the Mizbeach. So they'd come there, and they'd wait for the kohen to bring the korban, and they wouldn't go home until it was done. And therefore, very often, they found themselves, asher yishkevun es hanoshim, they had to go to sleep, Pesach Oil Moyed, outside the Oil Moyed. Of course, they couldn't go in, they didn't know the korban was brought yet. And they would have to wait till the korban was brought. Why was it like this? Rashi mentions on the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Yuma that discusses this on Daf Tes. Rashi mentions because of gaiva. In other words, there was a certain haughtiness. You know, it's like sometimes you ask somebody to do a favor, or a parent will ask a child to do something, and if you jump to do it, shows you're following orders. And sometimes a person wants to feel a little bit of independence, that, you know, I'll do it, but in good time. You know, don't rush me. You know, you want me to go and get you a glass of water? I'll wait a little bit of time, and then I'll bring the glass of water. It should be clear. It's my, you know, I'm running the show here. Could be the kohanim sort of felt, you know, a woman shows up. Here's the money. Bring a korban. So all of a sudden, he's supposed to stand at attention. The woman's here. Okay, he'll get to it. Don't worry. And in the meantime, the very fact that he didn't want to be rushed, she felt that, you know, it could be he won't get to it at all today. It's also possible that the kohanim were equipped to handle a certain crowd. And after Chana's tefillah was answered, and she had a son, Shmuel, could be it became a lot more popular for the women to come to Mishkan Shiloh to daven and bring karbonos, and as they saw what happened.
Not only that, but we learned that Elkanah every year took a different route when he went to Mishkan Shiloh. People would ask him where he's going, and he said he's going to Mishkan Shiloh, and people came with him. He drummed up business, so more people started coming.
Things were happening in these years. Could be the crowd. There were more men, there were more women. They were understaffed, besides the fact we know that they obviously wanted the meat. It could be l'shem shamayim a little bit, because they felt, you know, a person there's a mitzvah to eat the meat of karbanos, and a person should eat it with relish as a nasatim l'moshcha. You get more meat from an animal than from a bird. So it could be when they looked over the list of sacrifices, the day's work, they preferred to bring the animal karbanos than these karbanos of the ladies. So they may have had a justification that they might have felt was right. But as I say, the Novi keeps on stressing what they did wrong, because they got a terrible punishment. And even though they might view it one way, we're seeing it the way Hashem viewed it. And as we're seeing, Eli heard what they did to all of Klal Yisrael, and what the aver that they did with the women. Vayomer lohem. So Eli said to them, Lo masasim kadvarim ho'ela. The Malbim learns, Eli had a question now. Should he believe the reports or not? How do you react? What are you doing? Somebody tells you, you know, especially if you're somebody tells you, somebody close to you did something wrong. Now, do you ignore it? Do you act on it? Do you try to find out? Are you choshesh? Eli wasn't sure. So first of all, he took both approaches. Vayomalem, he sent to his sons, Lo masasim kadvarim ho'ela. Why are you doing things, these things? Now he used the word kadvarim, not hadvarim. Kadvarim. Why are you doing like these things? Meaning, Eli said, it might not be exactly the way I heard. You know, sometimes you correct somebody, did something wrong, and he'll, you did this terrible thing on Monday morning, and he'll get sidetracked. It wasn't Monday, it was Sunday, you'll tell me it wasn't exactly like this, it was a little different. But the basic point is, Asher Anochi Shomea, I'm hearing as Divreichem Roim, these bad words, these, Me'ez Kol Ha'om Eile, from all of these people. You know, you want to tell me one person said it, two people said it, but that's just everyone saying it. Why are you doing that? No, there's got to be some truth in it. Not everyone's lying. So why are you doing it? By the way, you see a lesson. If somebody gives you a compliment, or let's say somebody tells you something that he enjoyed, when you tell the person the compliment, you should say, oh, I heard you tell your child, I heard from your teacher what a how well behaved you were. Something like that. I heard from the neighbor how well you davened in shul. Whatever. You should say exactly who you heard it from, so that person has an appreciation that others out there appreciate. If it's something bad, it's better not to go to him and say, I heard from Reuven that you did this and this, which normally is rechilus. It's also to do that. But even in cases where it's mutter, it's better to avoid. If it's something bad, don't say who said it. Eli was very vague. He said, Me'ez kol ha'om eile, all these people are spreading the report. So it's not like B'nai Eli could have a tain on this man or that woman that somebody said this. It's just people are saying it. So he didn't put the blame on anybody in particular. Al bonai, know my sons. Either hinting to them that in this way you're not acting like my sons. Or maybe Al bonai is just a little bit of endearment that he's going to punish them. He's letting them know, you are my sons, I care for you. But Al bonai, this is not the way. Ki lo tova hashmua. Because the reports are not good. It could be there's no truth to it at all. But how can you allow such rumors? Ki lo tova hashmua asher anochi shomea. The words that I'm hearing are not good. That mavirim am Hashem. That the people of Hashem are spreading. Or it's for a great people like Klal Yisrael to have a low regard for you and to be saying these things, even if it's totally unbased. You can't do this. This is, in fact, we learned clearly with Chana when Eli thought that she was shikar, she corrected him. She said, "I'm not shikar. A person should not cause others to suspect him of wrongdoing, and if they do, he should correct them." For the B'nai Eli to allow such a thing to go on is unacceptable. Mavirim Am Hashem could mean the report, as we mentioned, that the Klai Yisrael is spreading all these reports. That's the way Rashi explains. Mavirim Am Hashem could also mean, the Radak mentions, Mavirim Am Hashem, you are causing the people of Klai Yisrael to be over, either to transgress. You're setting an example that's causing everyone to act with improper respect to the Mishkan. Mavir Ma'am Hashem, you're causing them to stop coming to the Mishkan. People think, you know, I go to the Mishkan, it's a holy place to be inspired, and I go there and I just get so turned off. That's holiness. That's a Mishkan. That's the way things are supposed to be. Mavir Ma'am Hashem, you're causing the Am Hashem to leave the Mishkan. Even so, one of the Mefarshim explains Mavirim Am Hashem. There's rumors that they want to get rid of you. Mavirim Am Hashem, they want to depose you. Mavirim Am Hashem, they want to pass you over. He was like hinting that the people sort of had enough. They can't tolerate this anymore. Im Yechta Ish Leish. This next pasuk is. There's many ways to teach it, because in the simple meaning, it means like this, but it's hard to teach. Im yechta ish l'ish. If one man sins to another, ufila loy Elohim. Pashat, the Targum teach is the Metzudas. The judge will judge him. Elohim means a judge. Like, Ado Elohim yavo devar shneim. Simple meaning is it means a judge. And like the Torah says also in Mishpatim, benosan biflilim, Plilim also means a judge. So, Philo Elohim, the judge will judge him. Okay, Reuven wronged Shimon, still go to Bezdin. But Vim Lashem Yechdohish. If a person sins to Hashem, Mi Spalalo, who'll daven for him? Actually, I think that the word Yispalal, it's a dictic word, but Yispalal is a Hispoil. It means actually. The Targum's words were Mimon Yive, from who could he ask to be forgiven? Like Yispalalo, who will allow himself to be prayed to on this man's behalf? If he sinned to Hashem, so Hashem's not going to accept prayer. Otherwise he's got something to accept. He's got to do tshuva, he's got to correct his ways. What exactly? Now the difficulty is, first of all, it's the same pasuk. You have the word ufililo. And just a few words later, Yispalel. So some of Forshim say the two words are totally different. One is Ufililo, he'll be judged by the court, and Yispalel means to daven. But the fact that they're together, and you're like comparing, if a man sins to another, Ufililo, and if you sin to God, Yispalel. Some teich, in fact, the Barbanel wants to learn Elohim, that the word here is Elohim, and it means Hashem. And he touches it like this. Im yechta ish l'ish, if one man sends to another, ufililo Elohim, Hashem judges. But vim Hashem yechta ish, if a person sins to Hashem, to Hashem, mi yispalalo, who is going to be his litigant? Reuven goes again, has something against Shimon. So Hashem will settle the account. Now, usually there's a little bit of truth to Reuven's side and a little bit of truth to Shimon's side. Ufilo Elohim, Hashem will judge and settle the account. But if a person sinned to Hashem, Hashem is totally right. You can't say he's mostly right. Hashem is totally right. So exactly who's his case going to be against? It's going to be man against Hashem. So Yispal could mean who will be judged with him, for him, meaning Hashem is the other party in this case. Or it could be im yechta ish l'ish ufililo Elohim, if one man sins against another, the wrong party can pray on behalf of his opponent. You find by Avimelech took tzara, and he was there, and therefore Hashem gave a punishment to Avimelech and his whole household. that they were all the body openings were closed up. But afterwards, he gave back Sarah, and it says, "Vayispalel Avram El Elokim." Avram davened to Hashem, and Avimelech was healed. So if Avimelech did something wrong with Avram, so Avram can daven on his behalf. You settle the account, and then the opponent will become your proponent. He'll speak to Eldavin on your behalf. But if a person sinned to Hashem, there's nobody else involved. It's not like you wronged somebody else and now he'll daven for you once you apologize and you settle the account. No, who's going to daven for him? Meaning you've sinned to Hashem in a way that no one's going to help you. Don't even think that I, Eli, am going to help you. In other words, you're on your own. If you don't straighten up your act, you're in trouble. But still it was viewed that Eli was not forceful enough. Even the term Al is more in a like a request. Please, my sons, don't do it. It wasn't forceful enough, and he explained to them, Imyechta Ish L'Ish, he wasn't forceful enough. Below Yishmu L'Kol Avim, could be he wasn't forceful because he figured they wouldn't accept it. Sometimes you try the gentle approach, it's better. But Velo Yishmu L'Kol Avim, they didn't listen to the voice of their father. Ki chofetz Hashem lahamisam. Because things had gotten to a point that Hashem wanted them to die, which we'll have to discuss. What does it mean Hashem wanted them to die? It could be at a certain point, you know, a person... So the Chazon Ish has a letter writing, somebody, you know, about how a person should daven for his children. Let's say you want your child to be successful in yeshiva. You want him to learn, you want him to have Yiras Shamayim. The Chazon Ish has a tefillah in which he writes, you daven to Hashem that Hashem should remove all of the things that would interfere with his serving Hashem properly and provide him all of the positive opportunities that he should develop. A lot of people would really like to grow, would like to succeed. A guy comes to shul and he wants to daven, and he's stuck next to somebody who's talking. A guy who goes to yeshiva and he'd like to learn, but he can't find a chavrusa, and then he doesn't understand the shiur. And somebody else would like to give tzedakah, and he ends up giving tzedakah to the wrong organization. To UNICEF or something like that, you know, or he buys a chair in one of these universities that, the guy's giving a tremendous amount of money and he could get Olam Haba in an unusual way. And the money's being spent in the wrong way. A lot of times a person wants to do, and if he doesn't have the zechus, if you're lucky to put your money in the pushka, you're a lucky man. You know your money went to a good cause. But for a person to be able to do a mitzvah, to be able to grow and not to be interrupted, you have all the great ideas, and a guy comes and he's cold, he's hot, he's not feeling well, things come up. Or he has to earn a parnasa and he doesn't have the time. Over here, ki chofetz Hashem la'amisam, the B'nai Eli sinned so terribly, at this point Hashem wasn't going to help them. Normally Hashem wants you to do tshuva and he encourages you and he provides you all the means. If B'nai Eli would have had the superhuman power to do tshuva regardless, they could have. But Hashem wasn't helping them anymore. They had created a chil Hashem. Others say the very fact the chil Hashem, you know, when we learn Shmuel now, we get an appreciation of what it means to act properly with the Mishkan. When you're dealing with a Mishkan, you have to behave in a certain way. That's what we learn here. B'nai Eli, when they were alive, created a tremendous Chil Hashem. When they died, and we'll see exactly how they died, and people see, you know, there's a punishment. A person could be a Rasha, or a person, even if you wouldn't, a person acts in the wrong way and he creates a Chil Hashem, but once he's Nifter, we see that's it. You know, whatever he did wrong, his life has ended, and certainly in the case of B'nai Eli, where their punishment was a clear punishment from Hashem, on the contrary, when we learn this, we learn in a proper appreciation for a Makom Kadosh, and for acting in the proper way. So for them, it's better off, even though it's difficult for us to understand. B'kichofetz Hashem lahamisam. They needed to die to end this Chil Hashem. as if they weren't going to do tshuva on their own, and they weren't going to fix their act, this was the best thing for them. That as we learn through history, this parsha, we see a kiddush Hashem. We see that Hashem, a person has to act in the proper way. But they didn't listen. Eli tried. He tried the gentle approach. It didn't work. Besides the fact that Eli zokin mod, he was very old. Could be he just didn't have the mafreshim say, you know, a person, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to hit your child when he gets to the age where he might hit back. A person has to know how to deal with his children. When Eli was younger, could be he had the physical force and the stature and the power that he could do what he wanted with his children. At this point, his children were running the show. He was old. Nobody came to him and even told him directly. He overheard reports. As I say, with all these things, we can look at it. You know, it's in America especially, you're used to hearing two sides of the story. You know, you don't have the state propaganda. Whatever happens, you look at it both sides. But l'havdol, when you're dealing with this, a person who was a small person didn't usually make his way into the book. If somebody were learning about the great people, and there was some type of character fault that caused them to do wrong, but if we could speak to them, I'm sure they would tell you why they did what they did. And if we would do what they did, sometimes, if we'd be in their situation, it would be the proper thing. But it's written this way to teach us what we should get from it. And there was a complaint on Eli that obviously it was felt he could have stopped it, if he would have been more forceful, if he would have been more energetic. But he didn't. V'hanar Shmuel in Pasuk Chavav, the Nar Shmuel, Holeich v'Godel, he was going and we were learning about the great people, and there was some type of character fault that caused them to do wrong, but if we could speak to them, I'm sure they would tell you why they did what they did. And if we would do what they did, sometimes, if we'd be in their situation, it would be the proper thing. But it's written this way to teach us what we should get from it. And there was a complaint on Eli that obviously it was felt he could have stopped it, if he would have been more forceful, if he would have been more energetic. But he didn't. V'hanar Shmuel in Pasuk Chavav, the Nar Shmuel, Holeich v'Godel, he was going and growing, progressing, v'toivin, he was good. Gamim Hashem, also with Hashem, v'gamim anoshim, and also with people. We just talked about B'nai Eli, the way they sinned to God, the way they sinned to people. Shmuel was like the opposite. He was good with Hashem, and he was good with people. And I share this even though it's really not, I was actually surprised. The Me'am Loes makes the following comment, which is really not, I share it to you because he mentions it over here. It's just such an interesting idea. He mentions a person should act in a manner that he should be ohuv lakoil, he should be loved by everyone. And he says there was a maisa with a chassid who used to carry change in his pocket. And this way, whenever a person needed change, he always had change. But like, that's sort of the end of the quote. But the point the Me'am Loes seems to be making is, there's an idea of doing chesed. You want to help somebody out. But we're not even dealing with that. There's an Indian, you know, sometimes a person should do a chesed secretly, you know, when nobody's looking, pick up the paper. You know, and I clean up a little, when nobody notices. You know, look, I wonder who did that. But that's a chesed, and there's an Indian to do it and get used to not doing everything that people have to see you. A person should do a secret chesed, you know, that people don't know what you're doing. But the Me'am Loes says there's also an inyan that people should know that you're out to help them. All right, sometimes you have a person who's, everyone thinks he's no good, and really behind the scenes he's doing a lot. But there's an inyan also that a person should be loved, gamim Hashem v'gamim wanoshim. Or Shmuel acted in a manner that the people loved him. He was good. Not only that, but we used the anoshim in previously as referring to the B'nai Eli. It seems that Shmuel had the chain that he acted the way he did, and even the B'nai Eli liked him. Like, you know, by Yosef HaTzadik, what he did, the Shvatim hated him for it. Shmuel was able to conduct himself in a manner that the B'nai Eli were taka acting terribly, and yet Shmuel was the goody-goody. Shmuel was the one who was doing everything the way he should, following Eli, and Eli's own sons were not that way, and yet everyone liked him. He was toiv gamim Hashem v'gamim anoshim, with Hashem and with people. Vayovo ish Elokim el Eli. The man of God, he was a Novi. Rashi brings down it's Elkanah, who, as we remember, Elkanah was the father of Shmuel. He was given the very difficult job. Vayovo ish Elokim el Eli. He came to Eli. And he's now going to give the rebuke from Hashem. You know, it's almost hard to imagine. Just thinking of rebuking somebody of the stature of Eli. Eli was the shofet, meaning he was the leader of Klal Yisrael. This is before you had kings, but imagine him like the king. He was the shofet, the leader of all of Klal Yisrael. At the same time, he wore another hat. He was the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol. At the same time, not only did he have Keser Kahuna and Keser, what would be Malchus, the Rambam lists him in the chain of the Mesorah, meaning the Torah was handed down from Moshe to Yoshua, on and on and on. Eli was in that chain, and he passed it on to Shmuel. So Eli was the Keser Torah, he was like the greatest Godel Hador. Keser Torah, Imamish had everything. And without any of these miles in general, he was Zakim Old, he was an old man. To go and give such a person tochacha, that was the job of Elkanah. Vayavo isha lakim el Eli. So he came to Eli. Vayomer Elov, and he said to him, it's not my words, he's not making it up. Koy Omar Hashem, I'm just telling you, so says Hashem, this is a quote. So says Hashem. Haniglo niglesi el vesov icha. Did I not reveal myself to your father's house, your ancestors? Biyosim b'mitzrayim, when they were in Mitzrayim, leves paro, with the house of paro. Haniglo niglesi. On one hand, the simple meaning is it means to reveal, like nigla, what's revealed. It can also be related to the word golus. Haniglo niglesi. Did I not exile myself? Meaning there's a hint here that Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim. And in the physical sense, they were at the lowest level, they were slaves, they were physically at the low end. In the spiritual sense, we also know that they were in the Memtesh Shari Tuma, they were in the lowest levels of Tuma. Hashem says, Haniglo Niglesi, didn't I exile myself for you? The Shechina went with Klal Yisrael into Mitzrayim. Not only that, Haniglo Niglesi, I revealed myself. I directly spoke to your ancestor, to Aaron HaKoyen. What did Hashem say to Aaron? You look through the Chumash, you're not going to find it by Davar Hashem or Aaron. What Hashem said to Aaron? But when we learn Yecheskel, it says exactly what Hashem told Aaron. Aaron was the leader of Klal Yisrael when Moshe Rabbeinu was not there. He was in Midian. That which was all part of, without going into the Chumash, part of Moshe's reluctance is he's going to come back from Midian and take over the leadership. He was gone this whole time. First he was in the royal palace, and then he was out of the country. And Aaron was leading the people. All of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu comes in from nowhere, and all of a sudden he should be the leader. But Aaron was leading them this time, and Hashem came and he told Aaron in Nevuah, that's in Yecheskel. Anyways, the Ish Elokim said, this is what Hashem says, I went with you to Mitzrayim, and I revealed myself when you were Biyosim b'Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim v'Eis Paro, Pasha meaning enslaved to the house of Paro, u'bocharoisai, and I took you from that low status, and I chose him, he called Shivta Yisrael, from all of the Shvatim, li l'chayin, to serve me. He was the one that I chose, Shevet Levi, Aaron, Lalos Amizbechi, I chose Aaron to go up on my Mizbeach, Lahaktir Keteiris, and to bring the Keteiris. First of all, he's chosen, meaning he's on a more prominent, he has a Mila over the rest of Klal Yisrael. I chose him from all the Shvatim, I chose him. He has that Mila. Second of all, when he's chosen for this greatness, the chosenness is to go on my Mizbeach and to bring Keteiris. Keteiris is, by the way, mentioned in terms of Karbonos. The Keteiris was extra potent. That's also a separate shmuz. But you find in the Torah, the Keteiris was an extra. By Koyrach, they were tested using the Ketoyrus, and Aaron took the macht of Ketoyrus to stop the Magefa. Ketoyrus. And that was the role of the descendants of Aaron. Loseis Ephod. He wears the royal uniform. He's wearing the Ephod Lefonoi before me. Va'etno Levesa Vicha. And I've given to your father's house as called Ishe B'nei Yisrael. All of the korbanos of B'nai Yisrael. I provided them a parnasa. It might, you're right, we learned before, it could be one reason the B'nai Eli were so much into the meat is because there wasn't enough korbanos coming. Maybe they didn't have enough. But they could have subsided. Hashem says, I gave you the matani, you could have survived. Maybe for somebody who's into more taivas or whatever, they felt it wasn't enough. But Hashem's saying, I provide you the parnasa, so you don't have to worry about that. I gave you the greatness, the opportunity of serving me, the special garments, a parnasa, you're all taken care of, you're mine. He's building it up, that what they did wrong was not their personal avera. It's an avera that you have, there's a chain here. There's a chain coming from Aaron HaKoyen, going straight down. Their action, there's now a complaint against them. Look at what I did to your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. And I chose Aaron, and that's the way you're chosen till today. We have this special relationship. It's not like a regular person who would despise the Kodshim. Look at who you are. Look where you're coming from. Look at that Yichus. Lama Sivatu. Why are you kicking? Bezivchi uvemin chosi, my korbanos. Asher tzivisi mo'un, the korbanos that I commanded should be in the dwelling place, in the Mishkan. You're kicking them. Vatachabed esponecho mimeni, you honored your sons more than me. Lehavriachem comes from the word bori, healthy. But interestingly enough, in Chazal, bori, healthy, normally meant the person was a little heavy, obese. I think nowadays it's only in America people are worried about losing weight. Normally, in a malnourished environment, a guy who is nice and heavy is a healthy person. He has reserves that he can rely on. But lehavriachem, you fatten yourself up, meireishis kol minchas Yisrael, from the first of the korbanos of Klal Yisrael, le'ami. Either these korbanos are meant for my people, they're not meant for you to eat the meat, they're meant for my people. Or you're doing something wrong, le'ami, to my people. Ma'on, by the way, implies a more permanent dwelling place. Mishkan Shiloh actually had solid walls of stone. The top of it was a curtain. That's why it's also called Oihel, a tent, because the top of it was a curtain. But it was more permanent. And when Mishkan Shiloh existed, people were not allowed to have a bama. They were not allowed to build an altar wherever they wanted and bring korbanos wherever they wanted. It had to go to Mishkan Shiloh. After Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, once again they were allowed to make korbanos wherever they wanted. And that remained that way until we got the Beis HaMikdash. After the Beis HaMikdash, it's no longer allowed to bring korbanos, to bring sacrifices anywhere, except for the Beis HaMikdash. But these are korbanos asher tzivisi mo'on. I commanded in the dwelling place. He doesn't call it mo'oni, my dwelling place, because the sacrifices are zivchi, umin chasi, my korbanos. But as far as the dwelling place, it's about to be destroyed. It's Hashem doesn't call it his dwelling place anymore. But he said to Eli, "Vatechabed esponecho mimeni." You honored your sons more than me, meaning you weren't too tough with them, because you didn't know how they would react and what. You know, you were gentle with them. They're your sons, and when it's dealing with kavod Hashem, you can't be more concerned with their honor than with the honor of Hashem. But chavir esponecho me many more than me, and you use the korbanos to fatten yourself up. Mereishis, before the korban was brought, you took it for yourself. That's the complaint. Now Elkanah gets to the punishment. Pasuk Lamed. Lachain, therefore. Till now, Aaron HaKayin had four sons. Nadav and Aviyah were Nifter, that we read about in the Chumash. And he was left with two sons, Elozer and Isamar. Elozer was the older one, and he was the one who served as Kohen Gadol. By the incident of Pilegesh Begiva, there was a story at the end of Shoftim. It was taken from him, and it was given to the descendants of Isamar. Again, Aaron had two sons, Elozer and Isamar. It was taken from Elozer's descendants, and it was given to Isamar. Eli came from Isamar. That was his lineage. Came from Isamar. Because of this, Hashem is saying, that's it. Kehuna Gedoyla is being taken from your family, and it's going to be given back to Elozer's family, but to Pinchas ben Elozer. Pinchas was chosen later. There were other children of Elozer, but it's going to be given to Pinchas. We learned the story in the Torah, how Pinchas honored Hashem by killing Zimri ben Solub and those that had sinned. Lachain, therefore, Ne'um Hashem Elokei Yisrael. These are the words of Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Elkanah is speaking to Eli, but it's not his words. It's not. This is a direct quote. And you should know it's not the words of Elohim. This is not Midas Hadin. This is Hashem. Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. And it's Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel. He's supervising over Klal Yisrael. And as terrible as this punishment is for B'nai Eli, it's being done out of the love of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael cannot have leaders like this. We love the people, and therefore we're changing the leadership. Ne'um Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Amar Amarti. I've said many times, more than once, Beischo Veisavicha, your household, and your father's household, Yishalchu Lefonai Ad Oilam, would go before me forever. Meaning when I've promised greatness to your family, there was no reason why it couldn't go on forever. In general, when Hashem gives a reward, it's meant to go forever, but sometimes it has to be modified. Just to give an example, and this we'll talk about much later when we discuss about Shaul. But when the first king of Klal Yisrael, Shaul, was made king, he immediately had a strike against him. Because Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda. The Torah says Malchus goes to Yehuda. And we're going to see what the complaints were against Shaul. But you should know, whatever the complaints were, he was starting off with a strike behind his back. Strike against him. Because there was no way that he could be the leader over all of Klal Yisrael, him and his descendants forever. Because the Torah says it has to go to Malchus, it has to go to Yehuda. But this is not the case over here. There was no reason why B'nai Eli could not have perpetuated the chain of Kehuna Gedoyla. I said, Beischo Veisavicha Yishalcha Lefanei Ad Olam. They could go before me to serve forever. Va'ata, but now, Ne'um Hashem, again it repeats, these are the words of Hashem. Chaliloli. It would be mundane, it would be a disgrace, or far be it from me. There's no way we can allow this. Ki machabdai achabe. Those that honor me, I will give honor. Like Pinchas, the son of Elozer, who took action to defend the honor of Hashem. Those that honor me, I will honor. Ubozai, those that scorn me, disgrace me, yekolu, they'll become insignificant. This pasuk, by the way, is brought in Pirkei Avos, Anezeu Mechubed HaMechabed HaSabrios. Without talking, not without giving a Pirkei Avos here, but the simple meaning seems to be that when you honor another person, you're honoring Etzelem Elokim. You're honoring somebody who's created in the image that Hashem had for him. When you honor another person, that's like you're honoring Hashem. When you honor Hashem, Hashem says He'll give you honor. And if somebody curses a Yid, if somebody curses a Yid, Hashem says, I'll curse him. But you know what? Hashem cares more about the tzaddikim and about the Klal Yisrael. If you curse a Yid, Hashem says, I'll curse you. But Uboizai, if you discorn me, Yekolu, they will become insignificant. Yekolu is like a passive form of the word. In other words, the special favor and the special hashkocha that I grant those who serve me, bozei yikalu, I'll remove that specialness, and by themselves they'll become irrelevant. Hine yamin boim, the days are coming. V'godati es zeroacha, and I'm going to cut off your arm from the beis eli, v'zeroa beis avicha, and the power, the force, the arm of your whole beis avicha, your family. Mihiyozokein b'veisecha, that there won't be a zokein anymore in your house. Zokein, the simple meaning is there won't be anybody that lives to an old age. The question, though, is, as we see, it keeps on reiterating zokein, it seems to be the same thing. But the zokein also means zeh shekana chochma, somebody who's a talmud chocham, a gadol, a tremendous talmud chocham. What Hashem is saying is they would no longer be the leader. The Keser Torah would not be found by Beis Eli. Which Eli is somebody who could appreciate what it means to be the Gadol Hador, and he was told that's it. Besides the fact that Kahuna is going to be a loss, but they're not going to have the Zokein Beveisecha, the stature, those who had Smicha, those who were able to Paskin, those who were able to lead the generation in Torah. Person needs a special siyata dishmaya for that. As great as a person can be in Torah, but there's a special siyata dishmaya that somebody is zoche to become the godol hador. And your arm, the arms that went ahead and took by force, v'imlo lokachti b'chuzka, if you don't give me the meat, I'm going to take it whether you like it or not. That force and that strength will be chopped. They won't have the power and the prestige anymore. V'hibatata tsar ma'un, you'll gaze and you'll see. Tsar is the rival, the competition. Ma'un, in the dwelling place. Just like a woman, when a man has two wives, one woman is a tsara to the other. So too, when you have two people vying for leadership, one is the tsar to the other. Ma'on is also the term used for a more permanent dwelling, like Mishkan Shiloh, we said, was called a ma'on. The next ma'on is the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that after Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, it went to Nov or Givon, that's that the ma'on is the Beis HaMikdash, meaning this isn't going to take place till later. In the times of David HaMelech, he chose Tzadok, and in the times of Shlomo, Tzadok actually began serving as the new Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Gadol from the descendant of Elazar, of Pinchas ben Elazar's family. And when that comes, v'ibatata tsar ma'on, you Eli and your descendants will see that there'll be the rival will be officiating and serving in the Beis HaMikdash. B'chol asher yetiv es Yisrael, and all the goodness that's going to happen to Klal Yisrael, the good times are coming. The good times are coming, but you're not going to be part of it. And in fact, you won't be able to make peace with it. Sometimes a person, you know, he didn't get something, he made peace with it. Life goes on and he's happy. Sometimes a person, it eats at him. Or if he can't get over the fact that he knows it should have been his and it's not, he won't be able to make peace with it. V'hibatata tsar mon, alien, his family will always look and see that the rival is serving in the Beis HaMikdash. B'chol asher yetiv es Yisrael, in all the goodness that happens, and there will not be any old person, nobody from Eli's family will live to a ripe old age. Now the Novi explains in greater detail what exactly this punishment is. Don't think just because the Kahuna Gedol is given to the other family, this business seems to be somebody else's, so you go into a different line. You don't have to stay in the Mishkan seeing that now somebody else is leading. But no. V'ishlo achris l'chom im mizbechi. You will continue to serve by the mizbeach, but you won't be in charge. You'll continue to serve as an underling. L'chalos haseinecha. And it'll cause your eyes to just... As the Matsuda says, if you're looking for something and it doesn't happen, you're looking and looking and looking and it doesn't happen, that's called a kilyonei nayim. I don't know the English word for that. Chalas is einecha, your eyes will pine for it, maybe. V'ladi v'snavshecha, and your soul will be sad about it. Meaning you'll realize what you've lost. And this is also a reference to the fact that besides the honor, they won't have the parnosa. That there was the parnosa was easier for the person who was the leader. People would come and give him their trumas and other matnas kahuna, besides the actual karbanos. But you're going to see that you're not going to be in charge. V'chol marbis beischa, and those that grow in your house, yamusu anoshim, they'll die when they're anoshim. Which is more difficult if somebody as a child passes away, which is a terrible, terrible blow. But it's much worse if the person dies as anoshim. And that was the klala given to Beis Eli. They didn't wait to eat the karbonos. They grabbed it before its time. And therefore their children would not be zocha to live to a ripe old age. The Gemara mentions that there was a family where those in the family were nifter at the age of 18. Everyone, every child. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says, the Amora asked him, or the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I believe it is, said, maybe you're from the Mishpacha of Eli. The Mishpacha of Eli had that curse. And the Gemara discusses what to do, that there's still a saving grace if somebody's immersed in Torah and he does chesed. There are certain things that can mitigate the decree that a person could live longer. But in the normal course of events, this klala existed. The good news is there were people like Abaya came from this family, and his Gersosi, the Rava or Rabba, but some of the greatest Chachamim in the Gemara did come from Beis Eli, and they did live longer. But this was the klala that was given. V'zelecha ha'os. And this is the sign. How do you know that it's going to happen? How do you know when it's going to happen? Asher yovo el shnei vanecha. When you see the following happen to your two sons, el chofni u'pinchas t'chofni and pinchas, b'yom echad yamusu shneihem. Eli was told that they would both die on the same day. And when that happens, he wasn't told how they would die, and we're going to learn about that next week. Yirtzeh Hashem. But he was told they're going to die on the same day. That's the sign that this is now going to take effect, that nobody would live a long life. V'hakimosi li kohen ne'mon. And I will establish a loyal kohen, a trustworthy one. Kashir bilvoviyu v'nafshi yaseh, who will do not just the externals, not just go through the motions of bringing the sacrifices, but he'll do it with a heart. He'll do it with the kavonos and all of the deep intent that was supposed to be kept. He'll do it bilvoviyu v'nafshi yaseh, uvanisi li bayis nemon. And I'll build for him a bayis nemon. Bayis nemon, when you say at a chasen v'kali, should be zeichet to be bayit a bayis nemon. This is this expression here. It's a loyalty, it's a perpetuation, that it goes on and on and on. To build a bayis nemon means that they should have children and grandchildren should carry on the chain in Klal Yisrael. And if he's a kohen who's a kohen nemon, who's loyal to Hashem, his house will be a bayis nemon. And he will serve, he'll go before my anointed, meaning in the times of an anointed king, David and Shlomo, he will go before him kol hayam and forever. Lamed vav. Vahoya and obi kol hanoiser beveischa. All those that remain in your house, yovoli ishtachvuslo, they'll come and they'll bow down to the kohen gadol from the house of Elazar. La goiras kesa, for small coins. V'chikar lochem, for a loaf of bread. They won't have what to eat. And it bothered me, because all the kohanim, there's a rotation, and there's a sharing of korbanos, but it seems to be that every kohen that there was later on set up in families with mishmaros, that there was a rotation. This family would come for this week during the year, and a different family came the next week. There were 24 different families, meaning everybody had a chance to serve a little more often than twice a year. But that was 1 week, so for 1 week you had plenty. The rest of the week you're relying on the trumas and the maestras, maybe if somebody gives maestro ani if he's an ani, or shares his maestro sheni. But you're relying on gifts from the people. And then there were other parts that were given to them. Zerah l'chayim and keiva. There were other parts from the animals and other things that were given to Kohanim, right? Pidin aven. There were other things that a Kohen got, but he was relying on the people. And since he would no longer be the main leader of Klal Yisrael, he would find himself that he didn't have enough. And he would come, and he'd come to the Mishkan, and it wasn't his time to serve. V'amar, and it'd say, Sfacheni no, please join me on. Let me join your group, El Achas HaKahunois, to one of the Kahunois, Lechol Pas Lochem, to eat a loaf of bread, to eat a slice of bread. I should have Epis something. So this was the Klala given to Beis Eli. As I say, in general, when we're learning about Beis Eli, and when we're going to be learning about later on, in general, in Novi, it's important to keep in mind, I think an appropriate mushal would be, if you have a guy who's a ball player, and he plays well, and if it'd stay in the minor leagues, he would be the tops. He's the best. One day he decides, you know, he couldn't make it into the major leagues, they're willing to hire him. So he goes to be in the major leagues, and he gets to the major leagues, and sure enough, he makes one blunder and another one, and you can have tens of thousands of fans yelling at him from the stands and throwing beer bottles or whatever they do over there. And he realizes, you know, he's in the major leagues, but now he's not too good for the minor leagues. He would have been great. For the major leagues, it's not so. In general, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba. Every yid has a chelik in Olam Haba, and we're not judged on these standards that we're learning about in Novi. We'll all have a chelik in Olam Haba, and a chelik in Olam Haba is not just any little share. You know, if you would imagine all the joy you've had in your life, from when you were a baby till now, and try to compact that into one moment of pleasure and joy, and every word you can think of, and comfort and leisure, and this one word to 1 minute to capsulize all of your enjoyment, and then multiply it, and imagine if you could take the enjoyment of everybody in the whole world. One of the Bali Musa mentions this point, and put that in that same minute, and not only everybody in the world right now, all the billions of people, but everybody who is in the world from the moment it was created till now. Try to put every human pleasure and enjoyment and excitement and everything into one moment, and then like a capsule enjoy it. You should know, Yafashoa Achas in Olam Haba, Mikol Chaye Olam Hazeh. From all of the life in this world, everything, the best life that it could be, a moment in Olam Haba is greater. And that's Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba. And this is beyond our understanding. You can spend your time trying to think what that means. The ones that we're reading about here in Novi are playing on a different level. We're dealing with the tzaddikim and the gedolim that Hashem is preparing. They're in the major leagues. Their chelik and olam haba is in a different sphere, and they're judged for the most minor infractions. Like, we're in the minor leagues, and you can imagine how great it's going to be for us. They're playing in the major leagues, and in this world, they're written down in the harshest terms, and they're judged with the harshest punishments, whatever, because they're playing in a different league. And their reward in Olam Haba is going to be in a totally different level than we could imagine. With this, with the end of Perek Beis, we finish with Bnei Eli, although we're going to see later on how the punishment actually was carried out. And next week,